chapter number 13. Love the book of Romans. This is about everywhere you look in the Bible, in the New Testament, in Paul's writings especially, you can see things that are expounded upon in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 13. Enjoy the discussion on Wednesday night of what God's given to you. I'm looking forward to chapter number 14 already in the book of Romans this Wednesday night. And encourage you to be studying the Word of God. Be ready to share what God's given to you. And join in the conversation. And let God work in your heart. Romans chapter number 13, and beginning in verse number 11 through verse number 14. And if you're able to stand with me, let's stand in respect of the Word of God. As we read Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. And that, now we're building upon everything that's been said already, which we won't back up that far, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God this morning. Thank you for the privilege it is to not only know you as our Savior and to have that hope of heaven when we leave this world, but to know you today as our Lord and Master. And Lord, every day is a day of surrendering, of dying to ourselves, that we might walk in Christ, that we might be in Him. And I pray that you would bless now as we look into the Word of God, that you would challenge us collectively as you challenge me in these verses as we share just some simple thoughts tonight from your Word. Bless in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. And don't touch that snooze button. All right? That's my message tonight. Don't touch that snooze button. How many of you like that snooze button on your alarm? Oh, yeah. Connor, Exhibit A, don't touch that snooze button. This is not a message against late risers. All right, so relax. I used to be that person and decided I'm going to change that long ago. Glad I did, because personally it's made me more productive, made me healthier both mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But not everybody's the same when it comes to right, and now we're going to make some references to that and kind of laugh about it a little bit, but the application is the spiritual application. Don't touch that snooze button. I have a visit planned with one of my siblings in a month or so. It's my wife's birthday, so I'm leaving town. That's just kind of the way we do things, but I'm such a romantic, huh? I'm going to be spending some time with my brother. He's got a place that I could stay if I want to. I'm not sure if I want to stay there, because he and I are opposites in this matter. Now, he's saved and loves the Lord, and I'm looking forward to the time of fellowship with him and some of his children and grandchildren. They are the opposite. They'll get about the time I've been asleep for an hour at night. They'll say, hey, while we're up, why don't we paint the living room tonight? Why don't we take out this wall in our house? That's just the way they've always been. And they'll be up till 3-4 in the morning working on things. And I said, you know, when I'm down there, I'm going to actually be doing some hunting with someone. And I'll probably be getting up about the time you're going to bed at night. I'm not sure how well that's going to work if I spend the whole time with you. But I am one of those type of people. If I got to sleep on the living room floor in front of the television set, that don't bother me again a bit. I just shut my eyes, put my good ear in the pillow. I can sleep through anything. Doesn't have to be dark, doesn't have to be quiet. But anyways, I'm kind of laughing about the opposites there. But there are some advantages. Young people, that always want to push that snooze button. When I was young, boy, I lived for that snooze button. About the fourth time, that's the time you think about getting up. That's just the way I was when I was younger. But the advantage of getting older, or old, I guess, I made an appointment to visit somebody that's a preacher in our area for lunch, and I said something about when you get old, you got to be careful. Like he said, old? What are you talking about? I got shoes older than you. And I don't think he realized he's only 3 or 4 years older than me, but I won't tell him any different. Anyways, when you get a little bit older, there's less ability to sleep at night. Sometimes you just can't sleep. That's okay. It gives you extra time to pray. I kind of do this to myself. I kind of laugh at this. I set my alarm. I don't know why I set my alarm, but I always set it at night. And I set it at a random time. The strangest thing, to me, about sleep is I set my alarm for, I don't set it for normal times. It's 4, 5, 6, 5, 4, 4, 3, 2, or whatever, that's just, and no matter what time I set it for, I always wake up this morning I woke up 2 minutes before my alarm went off. I purposely don't set it the same time all the time. It's just some random number I pull out. But I have this fear about oversleeping. And another thing about getting old, you have some really weird dreams. Oh boy. I guess you got more things in your mind and they get everything mixed up and everything. And we enjoy in the morning telling each other what the strangest dream was we had. Boy, they get some bizarre ones. And people that show up and I remember when I was a kid, the dreams all kind of seemed to be in uniform, and I want to go back to sleep so I can see if I can pick up where I left off in that dream that just ended. But we're talking tonight about a spiritual slumber, not a physical slumber. And I want to make that application and help you to see something in this passage of Scripture, what the Apostle Paul is talking about, what God wants us to realize today, that don't touch that snooze button. It's easy to be asleep spiritually in our world today. It's a part of our Laodicean era where we just really don't know and don't care about a lot of things that God's doing in our lives and the lives of others, what God wants to do in our lives. And the first thing I want to just give you a simple outline of these verses that we read there, beginning in verse number 11. In verse number 11, I want to say that it says, wake up. Wake up! And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. That'd be a good thing for your alarm button to say. Wake up! It's high time. Hey, it's time to get out of bed, lazy bones. My dad used to, when we tried to sleep in sometimes as kids, dad would come in and he'd say, all right, fritty witty boys. Don't tell us that. That's just the way he'd yell at us to wake us up. Always threatened to do, and he actually did this to me once, threw a bucket of water in my face because I didn't get up about the third time he came in. I threatened to do that to my boys, but I never got brave enough to do it because I'd have to deal with my wife about cleaning up the mess that I made. Anyways, that's just, wake up. There's that terrible feeling of oversleeping. Now, some people, maybe it doesn't bother them, but that's one of the recurring nightmares that I had growing up. Some of them, other ones I don't want to talk about in church. But anyways, it's kind of like that feeling when you're driving somewhere and you feel sleepy. I like to drive through the night sometimes when I'm going on trips, especially by myself. But I know enough when I'm starting to feel tired, we just got to pull over, wash my nose, I call it, and walk a lap around the car a couple of times, take a couple of laps somewhere, and then I'm good for another half hour or hour. But there's that something about that feeling when you just can't stay awake, and you're pinching yourself, you're sticking your head out the window, slashing water in your face, and trying to get up. Sometimes in the morning, it's been a long day, and just have a hard time. I found it's best just to get up, take a walk, take a shower, wash up, exercise, and sometimes when I'm feeling sick, get up and do those things. It's amazing how well you feel when you just get up and do things. But the spiritual application is here in verse number 11, there's no time for slumber. The Bible says, and I thought Todd was going to mention this verse when he mentioned 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, what? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. It's not a time to take a siesta. Not a time to take a nap. Be sober. Be vigilant. Get up. Wake up. I find it best to get up in the morning, take time to talk to the Lord in prayer. Take time to get into the Word of God, to read, study, memorize Scripture that will help you through the day. Meet with God. I don't know of another way to meet with God than to spend time in His Word and to spend time in prayer. We ought to wake up doing those things and be spiritual. It's a spiritual application. Be sober. Be awake. Be alert, because the devil's out to destroy us. And I love verse number 11, how it ends. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Are we there yet? No, but we're almost there. We're almost there. We're just about home. This is not the time to hit the snooze button. We're about to arrive. Our salvation is nearer. I believe the Lord's coming back real soon. I'm ready for Him to come today. Well, what if He doesn't come today? I'm ready for Him to come tomorrow. I'm not going to be asleep when He comes. I want to be awake. I want to be working. I want to be serving Him. Live for that which is eternal, above the things that are temporal. The struggles that we have today, one day soon, they're all going to be gone. If the Lord doesn't come back, I get to go to heaven. We either get to go to heaven one by one, or we get to go to heaven all at once. And either way, I'm looking forward to it. Our salvation is nearer today than it was yesterday. We're closer to it. Now, of course, when you got saved, you got all the way saved. But we still have this old flesh that we're struggling with, what Paul was dealing with earlier throughout the book of Romans. How we want to do good, but we can't. We struggle with the flesh and the spirit and finding victory in Christ and learning to walk with Him. But we are closer to that day. And that battle sometimes gets weary, but wake up, realize that we're closer there. And then number 2, and verse number 12 through 13, I'm going to word it this way. Verse number 12 and 13, take your pajamas off, or your pajamas. Do you sleep in pajamas or pajamas? Or maybe I don't want to know. Brex is shaking his head, no, I don't even want to know. We'll just leave it at that. Pajamas or nothing. I don't know. But take your pajamas off. We're not going to Walmart, all right? We're not going to school for pajama day. I can't believe how many pajama days they have at school. One day a girl got on the bus and I said, well, today must be pajama day again. She said, no, I just wore them. I can't believe they're allowed to wear that. But anyways, you look like you're going to Walmart. She happens to work at Walmart too. But said, are you going to work or what? But anyways, take your pajamas. Look at verse number 12 and 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We looked at some of those words Wednesday night. I won't go into that again tonight, what those words mean, what they're talking about. But take your pajamas off. Now, I can't do that in the physical world to say it. I know some people like to lay around all morning with their pajamas on. About 6 o'clock, they're off. They got to be gone by then. But there's a spiritual application here. I think a couple of times I've gone in for surgery and they say to wear something comfortable, like pajamas or sweatpants usually for me. I can hardly leave the house to do that, even though I'm going to the hospital. I can't get myself to do that. And I told my wife, well, when I'm dressed like this, why don't we stop at Walmart on the way to the hospital? I don't know. Get some shopping done while we're doing it. But some folks like to lounge around like that. And I say, well, if somebody comes over, I'd be so embarrassed to be seen like this. But anyways, take your pajamas off. What are we talking about? The spiritual application. Take off the works of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4. I won't turn there right now, but Ephesians 4, verse 22 and 23 says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off that old flesh. Just get rid of it. You think of yourself getting up in the morning and taking off the pajamas and putting on clothes to face the day? We'll talk about them in a little bit. But put them off. Throw them in the hamper. Get rid of them. You don't want them anymore. And God talks about putting off the works of Colossians chapter number 3, which Ephesians and Colossians are similar books. One's just shorter than the other. So I always like the short books. I don't know about you. Colossians chapter number 3, verses 8 and 9 says, But now ye also put off, take off these are the works of the flesh, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Now we think of blasphemy as cursing God. Blasphemy is allowing anything to come in place of God in your life, claiming to be someone that we're not. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Paul talks about putting off the old man. Let us put off the works of darkness. Put off that old man. Take those old clothes off, those pajamas. You don't need them anymore. Take them off. And then the third thing, in verse number 14. Look at verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of a silly thing, wouldn't you think, that if we came to church this morning and I decided, well, I'm going to wear my pajamas and just put my clothes on over the top of them. Kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? Kind of silly looking, isn't it? I don't know, maybe some people, when I was a kid, sometimes I'd just sleep in the same clothes. That way you didn't have to get dressed in the morning. I just got off to school. I wake up when the bus is rolling in the parking lot and you're off to school. Put those things off so that you can put other things on. Put off the old man that you can put on the new man. The third thing is dress for success. Dress for success. You know, we ought to dress responsibly. It's funny to me that in our world, in our present world, everybody knows the importance of dressing properly when it comes to formal things, except for God's people. I was watching a wedding the other day. Everybody has these nice dresses on at the church building. But when they come to church, they don't dress that way. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Dress presentable. Maybe you want to check in the mirror before you leave the house. Maybe you want to check with your wife before you leave the house. Sometimes I'm going out to go hiking or going out to maybe go fishing or something and going out to do yard work or something, and my wife will say, stop. You're not leaving the house like that, are you? Hey, nobody's going to see me except the animals, and they don't care. All right? She says, wait a minute. She gets her phone out and takes a picture and sends it to our kids. This is how your dad left the house this morning. Can you believe that? But maybe you want to check with your wife before you leave the house. Huh? Does this match? You want to wipe that slobber mark off? You want to make sure that things... I'm glad that I have a wife that makes me look good. Not only do I have her stand in front of me so I look good, but she tried to make me presentable too. You want to check things before you leave. Wear your uniform. You're identified with people. People notice what you're wearing. You know, the other day, I kind of mentioned this a while back, a couple of weeks ago, I guess now. I saw a policeman. I knew he was a policeman because he was in a squad car that said Illinois State. It doesn't say State Police on it anymore. It says Secretary of State on the side. I recognize it. Usually when you see them, you let your foot off the gas, you know, and apply the brake when you see them. But he was parked, and I was actually pulling into the parking lot, so I saw him. And I went over to talk to him, and it just kind of struck me strange that here he was in a squad car, and I couldn't see him through the tinted windows. Finally, he rolled his window down. I went over and talked to him, and I like to talk with policemen because of the first part of Romans chapter number 13. They're ministers of God, and I thank them for the ministry that they have, and I always want to pray with them. And this gentleman happened to be a born-again Christian and living for the Lord and loves the Lord, and we had a great time of fellowship. But it struck me a little bit strange because he wasn't in his uniform. He just had a polo shirt on, didn't say anything on the polo shirt, didn't say State Police or anything on it, didn't have a badge or anything on, and he was just in what I would call street clothes. If he wasn't for the fact that he was in that police car, I wouldn't know he was a policeman, except maybe he was wearing a gun. I don't know. He was sitting in a seat. I couldn't tell that. But your uniform identifies you. People notice how you dress. Now, that's the physical. And I want to always realize that I represent the King. Amen? I want to dress for the King. Not that I had to mow the lawn with a shirt and tie on. But I'm going to dress decently as best I can. Sometimes that's not real good because I don't have a lot to work with. But don't dress like a peasant or a slave if you're living for the King. And your clothes say something for you. Now, that's the practical side, but the spiritual application. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that in our text in verse number 14? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Put on Christ. It's not our righteousness that we wear. It's His righteousness. I was looking up Isaiah in the Psalms talks about wearing a robe of righteousness. His righteousness. I want people to see Jesus in me, not just in my outward appearance, but I want to be clothed in His righteousness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on His love. It's not my righteousness. It's not my love. It's His love. It's His righteousness. We talked about that. Love is fulfilled in Christ. He is the fulfillment of love. He is the fulfillment of righteousness that the Old Testament talks about. And to me, all I have for righteousness is filthy rags. And I don't want to wear them. I want to wear His righteousness. The very best I can do are nothing but filthy rags. Now, I'm not talking about your physical appearance. I'm talking about your spiritual appearance and how you're presented before men, how others see you, what they see in your conversation, your lifestyle, your words, the things that you say, and how you respond to certain situations. And I want to put on new clothes. Isn't it nice when you got a new shirt to put on? Something freshly pressed and cleaned. And every day when we put on Jesus Christ, we put on something new. Today's a new day. I'm not living with hand-me-downs from yesterday. Oh, back then, I remember when God did this. I want God to do something for me now. I want to put on what He gave me today. What is the verse that He gave me today? I want to put on the new man, not the old man. And I want to give no place for the devil. Make not provision for the flesh. The greatest enemy I'm going to face every day is not the devil himself, but myself. I am my greatest enemy. And I want to make no provision for the flesh and to fulfill the lust thereof. My flesh wants to do everything God says I should not do. And I battle with that every single day, and so do you, if you're honest. If you don't battle with it, that's because the flesh done got you whooped, all right? He's in charge of everything. If you're walking with God, you're going to struggle. Paul struggled with that. That's what Romans 7 and 8 is all about. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory in Jesus Christ. I want to put on the new clothes, the new man. And give no place to the devil. In fact, Ephesians chapter number 4, we read verse 22 and 23 earlier. Let me read verse, I don't think I have the right verses here. It's in chapter number 4, the next couple of verses, wherever I read before, because I've got the same reference written down. I know that's not right. And it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And again, I don't have any righteousness. I put on my righteousness. You're not going to want to look at them, and you're not going to want to smell them. I'm nothing but filthy rags. It's His righteousness. It's His holiness. I don't have any holiness. I want to put on His holiness. Colossians chapter number 3 says, "And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him." After the image of God, we're created after His image, but that image has been tainted by sin. And now, since we've been saved, God is conforming us back to the image of Jesus Christ. And every day, I need to get up in the morning and wake up, first of all, realize this is another day that God's given to me. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be sad and sleepy all through it, right? I don't know. When God started working in my heart to become a morning person, I kind of despise to this day Garfield. Anybody like Garfield, the comic? Right. Or Eeyore. Our kids grew up watching Winnie the Pooh. The kids today, they watch, what is it, Bluey? Kablooey? Man, when I was a kid, Winnie the Pooh was the best when our kids were little. But anyways, now the grandkids are Kablooey or whatever his name is. I want to get rid. I want to wake up. Be alert. Take off the pajamas. Take off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in holiness and righteousness in God's image. And I want to say one other thing of dressing for success. Don't forget to pack your weapon. You don't need a concealed carry for this weapon, all right? Don't forget your weapon. Look back in verse number 12, the last part of that verse. Verse number 12. Is cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the what? The armor of light. Jackson's got his weapon with him tonight. That's an orange one. I wouldn't trust him with a real one. Put on the armor of light. Don't forget to pack your weapon. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians and we'll close there. Ephesians, dress for success. Walk with God. Wake up, take your pajamas off, take off the old man, throw out the old man and put on the new man. Dress for success. Success in God's righteousness. Not our righteousness, not our filthy rags. Brush your teeth, comb your hair. Put on the new man. Walk different. And chapter 6 of Ephesians, beginning in verse number 10. You know the verses, but I want to look at them again. All right? Don't say, oh, yeah, I've heard this before. I know what they say. Don't ever look at the Bible that way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I can't be strong on my own. I can only be strong in the Lord. You know, I could pull that little gun out that Jack has and I could say, bang, bang. That's not going to protect anybody. Right? Jack, not me. Let me see that gun, Jack. Can you shoot me? Look at, I'm Superman. That thing doesn't even hurt me. That's our weapon. God's weapon is all powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is a trickster. He is a liar. He's the father of all lies. He's a liar from the beginning. And verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And again, we're talking about not touching the snooze alarm, the snooze button. We're not talking about the physical snooze. We're talking about spiritually. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They believed a lie. They've turned from God. The kings of the earth, the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us cast their bands asunder. Verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're coming to the last day, and the Bible says in the last day is also going to be an evil day, depending on which side you're on, depending on which side you're focused on and walking with. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, God's righteousness, a breastplate covers your heart. Only God's righteousness can keep my heart right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you ready to share the gospel at any moment? Are you taking every opportunity to share the gospel of peace, not the gospel of conflict. We're not out to debate and argue. We're just offering the peace of God that passeth all understandings. And the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Believe God, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and he will cast his fiery darts at us. And those darts are painful, they're deadly, and they will constantly be cast at us, and only faith can protect us. And take the helmet of salvation. Of course, salvation is the beginning of life. It starts in our mind, turning our mind to him, and then it reaches into our heart. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it alone is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Never underestimate the power of God's Word. Always giving yourself, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating the Word of God. That's key in winning the battle for the Lord. That is our greatest weapon. That and verse number 18, praying always. The greatest weapon we possess is this book and when we're on our knees before God in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Paul talked about praying in the Spirit in Romans chapter number 8. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. I said, do you believe in the perseverance of the saints? Yeah, I believe in the perseverance and the supplication of the saints, as God talks about. Oh, yes, we ought to always be looking to him and praying and trusting in him, because it's only in him that we can gain victory in our life. Don't forget to pack your weapon. The weapons of prayer, the weapons of God's righteousness, the weapons of the Word of God. Dress for success. Walk in His righteousness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, I found that in the physical world, it's good to get up in the morning, refresh. You know, sometimes you get up, you're extremely tired, worn out, or not feeling good. And I just learned the best thing to do is get up, get washed up, get cleaned up, put clothes on, take off the old clothes, put on new clothes, and boy, all of a sudden, I feel better. Now, you might go about an hour and say, no, I need to go back. This ain't working. But you ain't ever going to get out of bed if you don't just get yourself up and wake up. Take your pajamas off and dress for success. Walk in the righteousness of God. Walk in His holiness. Walk in His presence. And that's an everyday thing. Well, I did that yesterday. Didn't seem to help any yesterday. Do it again today. I did it 2 days ago. Just keep at it. You'll be amazed what God does if you just persevere, if you keep going walking in His presence and in His grace and in His power and seeking Him and desiring Him. Wake up, for the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. We're getting close to heaven. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to get callous, indifferent, and lazy in the things of God. I'm going to ask you to stand.